Now, more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS, is live and Lansing with Michael Cohen and the Capital City Recap.
Good evening. It is Thursday. I'm Michael Cohen, producer Solomon Martin. This is 1320 WILS. Today, we'll break down this bill that passed the Michigan House panel this week that requires judges in Michigan to award joint legal custody of children to divorcing parents. Some groups are outraged by that. We'll find out why. Also, we're going to take a look at that video. You're going to hear the video of the shooting of Mr. Castillo, Philando Castillo. Really shocking video, but we'll have an expert explain how it all happened and how we can avoid these incidents with police officers pulling people over. Let's begin, though, with the Senate, the U.S. Senate today, unveiling its new health care bill, and it looks a lot like the House version. What does it mean for us? Mark Fendrick with us. Dr. Fendrick is the director of the University of Michigan Center for Value-Based Insurance Design, also a professor at the university. Dr. Fendrick, great to have you on WILS.
Happy to join you.
Value-based insurance design. How close are we now to having a value-based system, would you say?
I think we still have a long way to go. There are a number of exciting activities going on in the private sector, and public payers like Medicare and the TRICARE program are also trying to move a little bit from a volume-based system to one that cares how much health we're getting for our billions of dollars spent.
Yeah. What's the main cause, in your view, for us not getting value out of the money we're spending?
Well, it's a tough question to answer in 10 minutes, Michael, but I think that we really need to consider aligning incentives both for clinicians and patients around things that produce health. Mm-hmm. Our system has been driven by incentives to do more things and not concentrate on the fact that every single person is different regarding the type of care they need. We need to move from a one-size-fits-all type of delivery system to one that's much more nuanced in the type of care we deliver and pay for.
So do you believe that Obamacare is falling apart and needs to be replaced?
Well, these are difficult questions. You know, I don't think the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare was perfect. I think there were a number of interesting implementations, many of which were driven by the private sector prior to Obamacare being put in place. Mm-hmm. In Michigan, we saw a large number of people get insurance for the first time. We saw hospitals, as we heard last week from the Michigan Hospital Association, on more stable financial ground and actually reaching out more into the communities and beyond their four walls. So although imperfect, I think the law certainly could have been improved upon. Yeah. I think this major upheaval may lead to significant misgivings moving forward.
Okay. Well, we are seeing these insurance companies basically pulling out of the exchanges now. Does that indicate that in the long run it does not work, the Affordable Care Act?
Well, I think there's a really fundamental tension in healthcare between one group that really looks at individual and population health, and there's another constituency that's appropriately really concerned about healthcare costs. Mm-hmm. And when it comes down to insurance, I don't want to make this overly simple, but if you pay less for your health insurance, you're likely to get less generous coverage. So we've tried to figure out ways to stretch those coverage dollars by putting generous insurance coverage for those services that make people healthier. Mm-hmm. And in the situations where the service may not be valuable, to make the individual pay a little bit more.
Okay. But it sounds like the insurance companies have been losing, what, hundreds of millions of dollars, though, in the process of the Affordable Care Act.
I think when we saw the relative level of risk and sickness in people who joined these plans were underestimated. And I think one of the more popular aspects of the Affordable Care Act was increased access to preventive care, which the payoff for that will not come for several years. And because of that and many other issues, the cost of care was significantly higher than expected. And it's going to take some time to iron those things out.
Talking to Dr. Mark Fendrick with the University of Michigan. It's the Center for Value-Based Insurance Design. So I guess the main crux of the change now is this new system that the Senate presented will provide federal tax credits to help people buy health insurance rather than the system as it stands now. What do you think of the general idea?
Well, it's complicated. I think there was one small positive increment over the House bill, which was the fact that the early tax credits were strictly age-based, and they added what some people, including the New York Times, might think a modest improvement in making those tax credits incomes-based as well, to make it slightly easier for those who are financially vulnerable to buy insurance. But most expert actuaries in the Congressional Budget Office estimate that the amount of money that people have to pay out of pocket for reasonably generous plans will be substantially increased, particularly as you approach Medicare age.
Okay. And so what does that really mean for people? I mean, are people going to be able to afford the insurance, you're saying?
I think that clearly the amount of subsidies, the money coming from the government for people to buy comparable insurance will go down. I think there'll be a lot of kind of interesting pressure, if not innovation, on the insurance plans to develop less costly plans that do cover reasonable amounts of medical services. Okay. There's been a lot of conversation, as you know, Michael, about what plans have to and don't have to cover, and these are going to be worked out in the coming days. But I think most people who reviewed the 126-page bill come out of this suggesting that coverage will be more expensive for a handful of people. Mm-hmm. It'll likely be significantly less generous to a lot of people.
Right.
But if your goal is to have health care costs go down, taking lots and lots of money out of programs and the Medicaid program will certainly lead to decreased spending.
What this is going to do is it's going to put the entire Medicaid program on a budget, ending the open-ended entitlement that exists now. Is that, what's that going to do?
I think that's a very serious change. It has lots of governors particularly nervous. I think you know that the phase out of the Medicaid expansion, which is substantially important and very popular in the state of Michigan, has been delayed in the Senate bill relative to the House bill. But I think a lot of people are going to be scrambling to know that hundreds of thousands of people, many of them are very satisfied mm-hmm. with the insurance coverage they've received in the expansion.
Well, but when people say that, look, this is just part of the financial reality, we can't, I mean, we have to acknowledge that there's only so much we can afford, and this might be it. Well, what do you say to them?
Well, I've been saying for 20 years that we can't give everything to all people, and we should rely on the hundreds of years of medical science and evidence to suggest that we could probably really reorganize our system around services that make people healthier, as opposed to services that may people think are happier that may buffet up a bottom line. Okay. I think that if we put both the providers and the patients on some type of path to increase the use of services that, again, will improve individual and population health, that we're certainly better off than those things that
are most profitable. Preventative medicine, that kind of thing?
Well, not only preventative medicine, which is one of the most popular aspects of the Affordable Care Act. 140 million Americans now receive almost 100 preventive services at no cost to them. There's no evidence to suggest that that part of the ACA is going to be pulled out right now. But I think most of the valuable services we have in healthcare are the management of chronic diseases. And as you've pointed out on the show, 5% of Americans generate 50% of the medical spend. And I try to follow the Willie Sutton view of the world is go where the money is.
Right. Now, is that something, though, that's going to become more of a problem as our population ages?
Well, the good news is, for what I could see, is that Medicare has been largely left out of this conversation regarding repeal and replace. But as entitlements are going to be scrutinized moving forward, and you know that's always a major discussion regarding federal budgets, we have to get our Medicare spending under control. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there are a large number of services that are underused in the Medicare population. And in some situations, more spending on management of chronic disease will actually save money by avoiding costly emergency room visits and hospitalizations down the road.
Mm-hmm. So in your view, are we heading in the right direction by repealing the Affordable Care Act?
Well, it's hard for me to say. I've got one of the very few bipartisan healthcare reform ideas in value-based insurance design. Mm-hmm. I will say if one of the goals is to cut the cost of healthcare, I believe that the American Healthcare Act will do that. My concerns is we have to also preserve the health of our populations, because not only does it contribute to healthcare costs, health of the population contributes very significantly to the economy as a whole. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to change the conversation from how much we spend on healthcare to how well we spend on healthcare. And I do think there are a number of promising bipartisan ideas would allow us to do that.
And do you think having the government less involved in healthcare rather than more, is that heading in the right direction?
Well, you know, I just feel that if, as a practicing clinician, that if I find a patient that has a service that would make their lives better and improve their quality of life, they should have access to them. Mm-hmm. I do support accountability and transparency, but I don't believe that people should have to foreclose on their house or have a bake sale to get a service I beg them to do that I know is going to improve their quality of life.
Dr. Mark Fendrick, director of the University of Michigan Center for Value-Based Insurance Design, also a professor at the University of Michigan. Dr. Fendrick, great to have you on the program.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Great having you on WILS.